Good morning on this, our friend Caleb's 35th birthday, old enough to run for president. We'll find out after 7 if we're going to get an announcement about a candidacy. I doubt it, but, you know, anything's possible in the world we live in. The WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB, we're welcoming your birthday greetings for Caleb, trying to pile those up. If we could get 35 by 7 o'clock, it would be awesome. And, oh, they're piling up like snow in the driveway. Hold it, that might be a negative. But Mike is 4th, Mona's 5th, Dan, driver Dan is 6th from Janesville, and we've got a 7th here. Way to go. We are 1/5 of the way there, 20%. Good job, guys. We'll be reading these, sharing these, so... Good morning to Jason. Best 5 minutes of the day. Good morning.
Good morning. Let me just add the happy birthday to Caleb. I would say he's probably getting old enough that he can get his license pretty quick, I would guess.
Yeah, there you go.
35 just seems like so long ago. That's awesome.
You have big number 50, October 25th.
I do. Yes, it's coming up.
But it's the year of Jubilee for you.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's the year of Jubilee. It's the year of freedom and celebration and reconciliation and all of those things that I haven't quite figured out what they look like yet. So.
How well do you know Caleb? I mean, you've occasionally talked with him here at 5:45, not a whole bunch of times, but yeah.
Yep, talked to him a couple times. You know, it's interesting. You know, we do this show on the radio. We've done this for a long time, and have had not a ton of interaction with Caleb because he's usually not in the studio at this time of day.
But, there is something. The thing is that he handled this shift early when I went to Liberia 2016, 2017. And Josh is the guy who replaced me. He got a job at the Minnesota Twins. And then Caleb became the early morning guy for long enough to know that he was ready for somebody else to take the reins of that.
Caleb is I don't think anyone would disagree, at least from what I understand, that Caleb is a hard worker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's working it and working hard all the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's an asset to the station.
Oh, I call him the Giannis and LeBron of our team. So there you go. So high praise. All right. I got to tell you, Wordle, are you still doing Wordle on a regular basis?
I am. Yeah. I've been doing it every day for a long time. I don't know that I've missed a day in months.
I got stumped yesterday. And as I was looking at it today, I've got the words I typically go crane and now go ghost and then kind of go from there. And so I was able to go, I had C, H, and O, but I knew there wasn't an E and I knew there wasn't an S. And I don't know, I just kind of got, and sometimes I will allow myself a Scrabble word finder where I will put the three letters, a couple of question marks, and it'll narrow the field for me. I didn't rely on that. So if you don't get it solved by midnight, you turn into a pumpkin and you can't. So I wasn't, do you know what it was yesterday?
I don't remember what the word was yesterday. C H and O. It's not coming to me right
okay.
off the.
But is there a way? Is there a way to check back on what the word was if you missed it?
I think if you Google, you can go back. Yeah. And I think there's a place that keeps a list of all the previous words. So I did get it yesterday. I just don't remember what it was.
All right. Well, that's a sign of your old age now. So.
And I got it in. And I got it in two this morning. So.
You did? Wow. Okay.
I did, yeah.
All right. I've got a few of the letters, but I haven't solved it. We better not reveal the answer here on the air. All right.
No,
well,
I won't, for sure.
Yeah, your answer to my question of can you find it out is you can Google it. That's the answer for everything. Yeah. You can Google it.
Yeah.
All right.
And it reminds me of a cartoon I saw years ago. It was two men sitting on a couch, and it says, before Google, and one man says to the other, he says, there's something I'd like to know more about. And the other guy says, that sucks.
Oh, boy.
In the days before Google.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Well, 1 Corinthians 13, we're finishing off the Luff chapter today, right? So let's close out the final verse.
Verse 13.
Yeah,
it says, three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Mm-hmm. And the ways we close it out in the letters to the beloved is, I want my followers to manifest many traits. The trio of faith, hope, and love persists through fiery trials, but love is my highest call.
Yeah, pretty straightforward there. Mm-hmm. I was just chatting with someone earlier about love being our, you know, our primary ministry, our primary mission, and such a good way to wrap up this greatest of the chapters, or the, you know, the one that we often go back to when we think about the idea of love, and the reminder that love will persist through all of the trauma, all of the trials, all the difficulties, all the heartache. Love is what persists through the whole thing.
Yeah, and again, just a reminder for us, I mean, it's no accident where God and the Spirit and the Apostle Paul have placed 1 Corinthians 13. It's smack dab in the middle of Paul talking about the spiritual gifts. So we can go running off after this and that and the other gift, and they're wonderful. But the greatest is love. And I learned this doing some reading when I was in Liberia, that love is the highest gift, and it's the first fruit. It's the highest gift, and it's the first fruit. So keep that in mind, huh?
Yeah, that's a great, great reminder for us.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Our buddy Jason Kanz, WWIB, Caleb's birthday, Vicky and Eau Claire are chiming in. So let's see, if we had 7, Jason was number 8, and Vicky's number 9. Hey, 9 on our way to 35 birthday greetings. Can we do it by 7 o'clock? It's a lot of work. We've got 70 minutes. Let's do this. 396-1670, birthday greetings for Caleb on his 35th. Well, we've already talked about it a lot, that our co-host Caleb turning 35 today, old enough to run for president. Will we get the big announcement today that he is? We'll find out. Stick around for that after he arrives at 7. A guy who did run for president. Oh, this is perfect. This is perfect how the Lord has orchestrated this. Ben Carson, our guest at 8:15. He's got a new book called Created Equal. And, looking for Ben to give Caleb a birthday greeting. But then also, his advice for Caleb... should Caleb decide to run for president, since he's now old enough to do so, check your constitution. You got to be 35 to be president. All right. So you guys are doing a great job. We want to get 35 birthday messages in there by the time he gets here at 7. Let's see. Doug was 18, 19, 20, 21. Bob and birthday Bob in Rice Lake, number 22. Caleb and Bob from Rice Lake. They share that. Also number 23. From somebody at the 205, and number 24 from somebody in the 419. So thank you, you guys. 24. We got 11 more to go. We can get there. This is completely reachable. We're going to be good for like when he gets up to like 50 or something. So meanwhile, on this 26th of May, besides Caleb, others who share this, Tony. Hey, Tony. He was one of my students in Bible class back in the, I'm going to say, 8th grade in Liberia. He's a little older than that now. He's a whopping 19. Dennis Beale doing so much great work. He is 34. Deb Toyson, happy birthday today. Kenny Hall with a birthday today. Meanwhile, Anna Dubois, an intern here at one point. Steve Allingham, a past WIB announcer today, with a birthday as well. They share this with the likes of sportscaster Brent Musburger. Would you believe still doing play-by-play for the Las Vegas Raiders at age 83? Colin Kaepernick getting a tryout with the Raiders. What's with that? Good luck. He hasn't played since 2016. Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac, 74. Philip Michael Thomas, Miami Vice, 73. Pam Grier, same age. Doug Hutchison from The Green Mile, great movie, 62. Jeannie Francis, Laura on General Hospital. I see your hand. Do you remember that show? She's 60 today. Where's Luke? Comedian Bobcat Goldthwait is 60. Lenny Kravitz, 58. A lot of birthdays today. Helena Bonham Carter from The King's Speech, great movie, and The Crown, 56. Joseph Fiennes from Shakespeare in Love, 52. That got Best Picture, didn't it? Gwyneth Paltrow, too. South Park co-creator Matt Stone, 51. And they bill this guy as a celebrinaut. I'll have to check the definition of that. Scott Disick, 39. Our promise of the day on this, the birthday of so many, and we haven't even given you the CCM artist birthday yet, is Matthew 13:11. I will show you the mysteries of my kingdom. That's so good it's worth repeating. I will show you the mysteries of my kingdom. Folks, we begin to get to know God in this life. We get to know him forever and ever and ever, and we'll never fully know him. That is our journey. That is our destiny. Also with a birthday today from the CCM world, Nathan Cochran from Mercy Me, celebrating his 44th today, Double Fours. Great tune from them. Greater, he who is within you is greater than he who is in the world. WWIB, what a great day of encouragement on the WIB Wake Up Show. Good morning.
Happy birthday to you.
Dude, happy 35th birthday.
Thank you so much. And thank you goodness. All these messages, I'm just starting to wade through them and to reply. Wow, you guys are just showering me with affection today. And we've talked before about love languages, words of affirmation. Guy, thank you. That really made my morning because I was pretty tired today. So this is a nice boost. I appreciate it.
In classic Caleb form, if I understood correctly, I think he was even during the commercial leading up to his sports, I think he was beginning his responses.
Yeah.
Gotta make
the most of the time.
It doesn't leave any moment wasted for that. So the big question in the cry, and some are saying, I see it from Cliff and Spooner and Bob and Rice Lake. They're hoping you run for president.
Am I old enough for that now?
You are now.
You know, I would have some policy changes.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know. I mean, I've heard chicken in every pot. I would say probably a Reese's peanut butter cup in every hand.
Whoa, that attracted attention. Hey, and in fact, the Lord's allowed us to work it out that we have a former presidential candidate on the show on your birthday, Ben Carson at 8:15.
I'm looking forward to rapid fire. If he's willing to do it, that should be fun.
That's how we're hoping to begin, and we'll see if he has any advice for a future presidential bid. Your favorite group, Switchfoot. Hope is the anthem on the Wib Wake Up Show. Good morning. All right, we're celebrating birthdays today, and Caleb's not alone. There's a lot of people with birthdays today, including...
1, 2, 3, 4!
It's your birthday!
Bob Linder and Rice Lake telling us about a special birthday, right?
Yes, little Ellie turns 2 years old today, and Bob says can't wait to celebrate with you on Saturday, and send a picture as well. What a beautiful little girl. Hope you have a wonderful birthday, Ellie. And then Sarah from La Crosse, 93.7 FM, she said, yeah, my daughter shares a birthday with you, and she's 28 today. She said she's going to have a great day. Her husband's really good at spoiling her. So, mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I've got a gift bag of some presents and one that's not so hidden that you've already seen, but we'll open those and share a bit. But I put a note on the door, but I think you had already come in, so I think you missed it. It says, happy birthday, Caleb. We're so glad you were born. So there you go.
Hey, I'm glad to be born, too. Thank you, brother.
Yes, very good. So how do you feel at 35?
Tired.
Okay.
I mean, if we're just being honest.
There's a lot going on, right?
But I may have to save it for later, but there was an episode this morning that even though I was tired, there's an episode in my home that gave me a really good laugh on the way out the door. And so I want to thank my daughter, Nora for that.
Fantastic.
But it might be more involved to get into.
Let's share at some point before 9 o'clock this morning here on WWI. But let's open some gifts.
Okay.
All right. So he's got a gift bag. What's the first thing you see?
Okay. So the first thing, this is massive. Everyone knows that I think one of God's greatest gifts to humanity is, you know, not the light bulb or the combustion engine, but when he endowed mankind with the wisdom to realize that peanut butter and chocolate in combination is just on the doorstep of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so, Havo has gotten me not a regular size box, not a family size box, but a giant size box of one of my favorite cereals, Reese's Puffs. Yes, please. You better. I have been longing, as I've been trying to eat healthier, I've been longing for cereal and unhealthy cereal. I'm so excited to eat this.
Thank you. I'm glad you like it because, I mean, I've gotten you Golden Grahams before. I know you like that cereal, but I thought we'd go in a little bit more fun direction this year.
Oh, it's all fun. Thank you. I'm super excited.
Let's get into the bag.
All right, we've got a gift bag as well, too. Let's jump in. Wow, okay,
party.
I see a Reese's on the top, the pretzels big cup.
You've spoken positively of that.
Yes, and this is the thing, again, having a little bit of the sweet and the salty in there.
Yep.
It's a fantastic addition to the Reese's and lineup. And I don't know that they've made a bad product yet. They're kind of like the MyPillow of candy. Mm-hmm. So see how I get a plug in there.
Because I got to tell you, checking the shelves last night, I mean, there's so many different offshoots of the Reese's, right? So.
All right, thank you. And now I'm going to pull out something wrapped in tissue paper here. This feels like a book. And again, you and I love to read. Let's see what we have got here. The Read Aloud Handbook.
Yes.
A giant treasure of great read aloud books for me and my kids.
So there's actually an inscription on inside the front cover. You can read it if you want.
All right. Happy 35th birthday, Caleb. This is in Havel's trademark handwriting. So
he can read my chicken scratch. He has to for sports every morning.
I've been doing it for years. No person or book is a bigger advocate for reading aloud to kids than this book by Jim Trelease. I know you already love reading aloud to your beloved kids, but I pray you find this book a great encouragement to keep it up, as well as a great resource to find more fun, interesting books to check out. Love in Christ, Halvo. Thank you. And again, I think we both would be absolute advocates and say reading with your children is one of the most important things you can do, not only for bonding, but just in terms of their education, nurturing, development. So, and there's more in here, too.
There's more.
Wow. How many things did you get me? This is awesome. All right. Is your favorite? I think I see the familiar packaging of Oreos. Oh, you didn't have a chocolate peanut butter pie Oreos? I didn't know there was such a thing.
There's kind of a theme to the gifts, I think. A lot of chocolate and peanut butter.
Graham-flavored cookie, peanut butter and chocolate-flavored cream. Uh-huh. Have you tried these before? I didn't even know they had these.
I have
these.
Not. I Family saw last size? Night. It was meant to be.
Seriously, brother, we're going to wreck this diet in one day, and I love it.
All right, hey, there's one more gift.
One more.
You haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
But have you checked the bottom of the Reese's cereal box?
No.
The bottom of the Reese's cereal box. What's there?
Is there a gift card on here,
too? There is a gift card.
Wow. For Taco Bell?
Yes.
I'm going to have to get me some Mexican pizza
now. We've been talking about it. We've been talking about it, so now you've covered them all. So
thank you so much.
A lot of food.
Goodness, I'm just being showered with love and affection inside and outside the studio. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much, Alvo.
I can't wait to hear what did Nora do now.
Yes. So I'm trying to figure out how to best give the backstory. So my darling youngest daughter is 4 years old, and she is just cute and bright and vivacious, and God's given her a very strong will, and I would say you always know she's there. You always know she's there. And I'm not saying like the woman folly in Proverbs loud and defiant, but again, Nora makes her presence known. We have a baby gate set up on the door of the room, and mostly because she will knock it down, like smash it down, and then we know that she's leaving the room. This is another one of those things that I don't know if anybody else's kids ever do this, but Nora has a tendency to just leave sometimes homes or buildings where it's just like, I'm just going to go somewhere. And so that's always kind of the constant vigilance. Pray for us as parents that, again, we could be constantly in touch with that and make sure that our daughter doesn't just leave. And so if you don't know where Nora is, you start worrying a little bit about where is my daughter and did I lose track of her. And so early this morning, my family got up early and just we were spending a little time together, relaxing a little bit before I headed out the door to work. And Cooper was watching, I think, Paw Patrol on TV. Lindsay was resting a little bit. I was resting a little bit. And all of a sudden I realized, well, where's Nora? Because again, you always know where my daughter is because she just, you know, she has a way of making her presence fill a room.
Okay.
And it's like, where is she? And then again, as I go back to that, it's like, did she leave? Like, what's going on? And so you start panicking a little bit. She had not left the house.
Good.
And this child whose personality and presence fills the room had actually been very, very quiet. I found her. We have kind of a long house, and I found her all the way on the opposite end of the house. Lindsay had made some delicious peanut butter frosting chocolate cupcakes for me.
Yes.
And this child who normally, again, I keep saying, normally she's loud in a cute, wonderful way, had somehow completely silently managed to get all the way up onto the counter on the back end of the counter, pull down the cupcake container and take all three cupcakes quietly tiptoeing to the opposite end of the house and eaten all the frosting off them. And then she's like, I go over and I find her because, again, I'd started worrying, like, did she leave? Did she leave? Like, oh, my goodness. Like, you start worrying, a pop of panic there.
Yeah.
And then I found her and she's like, hi, Dad. Happy birthday. And, again, it's like, I don't want my child to be sneaky. Like, I don't. But it's like I just couldn't help but laugh at her ability. And again, this is why prayer is needed and discipline is needed, right? Because there's my child who's always, always loud and announcing her presence and yet able to be very, very quiet when she knows she's doing something that she shouldn't. But it gave me It gave me quite a smile and a laugh on my way out the door.
She's celebrating your birthday. She's like, wow, these cupcakes were made for you. I think you love me, Dad. You'd want me to eat this frosting.
Well, and I told her, I said, thank you for being my taste tester and making sure they were okay.
There you go. The cupbearer for the king.
Yes.
Oh, great stuff. What a story.
Baby.
We've got a special guest on the line. We mentioned Caleb, 35 years old enough to run for president. We've got a former Republican presidential candidate on the line. Has worn a lot of hats in his life, and his latest book, Created Equal. Ben Carson, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to talk to you today.
And happy birthday to Caleb.
Well, thank you, Dr. Carson. It's great to have you join us here on WWIB here in Western Wisconsin. And before we dive in a little bit more to the meat of this and talking about your book, Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, Hopeful Future of Race in America, really excited to speak with you about that. But if you'd be willing, Dr. Carson, we like to start things off a little bit on a softer, lighter note. And so we call this rapid fire. What we do is we put 60 seconds on the clock and try to ask as many easy to answer, get to know you questions as we can. All of these can be answered in a few words or less. Would you be up for that today, sir?
Absolutely.
All right.
Very good. So we've got 60 seconds on the clock. Here we go.
Rapid fire with Dr. Ben Carson. Where is your favorite place to vacation?
The Amalfi Coast in Italy.
What's the last book you read?
There was a... I can't remember the name of it. Divided. It's a book about what's happening to our country.
Do you prefer 20 degrees below zero or 90 degrees and humid?
Oh, I'll take 90 degrees any day.
Best breakfast food?
Eggs.
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Is your desk messy or neat?
Definitely messy.
What's a go-to snack food for you?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Do you wake up immediately or hit the snooze button?
Immediately.
And finally, this is the one that divides a lot of people. Dr. Ben Carson, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you lost me there, Ben. You lost me.
That's rapid fire with Dr. Ben Carson. Thank you so much.
Ben Carson, the book is Created Equal, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hopeful Future of Race in America. We will get into the book, but I'm just curious, since Caleb is old enough to run for president, and he hasn't officially said whether he will or won't in the future, and some of our listeners are saying, please do. You did. So any advice for him if he chooses to?
Yeah, always tell the truth. And that way you don't have to try to remember what you said a few months ago.
Very wise.
That's good. Well, he's a truth teller for sure. So, you've written a number of books. This is the latest, Created Equal. As Caleb mentioned, The Painful Past, Confusing Present, and Hope Future of Race in America. Give us kind of your overview of this new book of yours.
Well, first I want to thank everybody for buying it. It just came out last week, and it's already in the New York Times bestseller list. But basically, I saw that we were circling everything back to race, whether it was appropriate or not. And it was really quite ridiculous, the way that we're using it to divide people. We're using it as a cudgel to make some people feel guilty, to make other people feel like victims. And that's just not America. So I wanted to reflect on what has happened throughout my life, because racial relationships in this country have changed dramatically in my lifetime. You know, when I was a kid, it was a big deal when a black person came on TV in a non-servile role. And today, you got black admirals and generals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of foundations and university presidents, including Ivy League. We could elect the president of the United States twice. We have a black vice president. I mean, to say that things have not changed is just to deny reality. And it doesn't mean that we've reached nirvana. We have not reached nirvana. We have progress to make. But let's build on our progress and not on our failures.
Dr. Ben Carson joining us here on WWIB and the WIB Wake Up Show. I think you're alluding to that there, Dr. Carson. What would you say about those who say representation matters, particularly when we're talking about people of color, when we're talking about minorities, everything from Disney princesses to, I know there's a new movie, Encanto, that came out, and for children to see, even on the silver screen with movies, characters that look like them. But more important than that, in society, to see, again, African-American men and women and other minorities, to see them in positions of leadership and influence, to see them serving the Lord Jesus Christ. How important is it to have that representation in our country?
Well, it's very important, and it's happening without, making everybody into enemies. You don't have to do that. It's happening naturally as a consequence of people getting to know each other and people getting to recognize that people are people. You know, one of the reasons that segregation was so strongly maintained in times past is because they didn't want people to get to know each other. It's because that was the only way that they could perpetrate the myths about people.
You do write in your new book, Created Equal. I mean, you don't shy away from subjects. You take on the subject of critical race theory. Can you give us a little idea of what you write about in that chapter?
Yeah, critical race theory and the 1619 Project. You know, basically what they have done is taken the things out of our past, which are unsavory, and made those the central focus. And, I don't deny that we had slavery. I don't deny Jim Crowism. I don't deny racism exists now. It does. It's much better than it used to be. There's no question about that. But is it the thing that defines us as a nation? Are we a systemically racist nation? And if we are, then why do people form caravans trying to get in here? And when they get here, why don't they call all their relatives and say, don't come here. This is a horrible place. This is not what's happening. And we have a bunch of people who are saying to you, don't believe your eyes, don't believe your ears, don't believe your heart, just listen to what we tell you. And we've got to wake people up as to what's really going on, recognize that we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. And, let's build on the good things, and let's learn from the bad things. History is important. All of our history is important because our history gives us our identity. And our identity is that thing upon which our beliefs are based. And if we distort our history or we obliterate our history, what happens to our belief system? That's the reason when ISIS goes into a place and conquers it, what do? They get rid of the museums and the libraries and the things that give the people their history. We're doing it in a more subtle way, but it's just as deleterious.
Mm. As we wrap up the conversation, Ben Carson, you served as 4 years as the Housing and Urban Development Secretary. Did you enjoy that opportunity you had?
Not at first.
Okay.
in the beginning, I didn't have a deputy secretary for 8 months, and I had no assistant secretaries for 5 months. So every day was like drinking from the fire hose. I think they hoped that if they held up all my people, I would quit, but that just makes you more determined.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got the right people in place, we were able to do an enormous number of things. And you probably noticed that you don't hear those stories about HUD and fiscal irresponsibility anymore. That took a lot of work to straighten all that stuff out.
Uh-huh. Dr. Carson, again, the name of your book, Created Equal, The Painful Past, we've talked about that. The Confusing Present, we've talked about that. But the rest of the title, The Hopeful Future of Race in America, could you speak just about your hope, God-given hope for our nation in this regard?
Yeah. Well, my hope is that we stop and look at the big picture. I mean, we talk about diversity, and diversity is good, but diversity is actually a blessing. I mean, I say in the book, how would you like to wake up one day and everybody looked exactly like you? In some cases, that'd be a national disaster. I mean, why would we want that?
Yeah.
God was very good to give us diversity. And it's one of the reasons that we accelerated as a nation, because we have so many people with so many different talents and different ways of looking at things. That's why in the last 200 years, the vast, vast majority of inventions that have had a big impact on civilization have come out of the United States.
Hmm. Well, we so appreciate you joining us. Your birthday wishes for Caleb here on his 35th, and for your new book, congratulations on Created Equal. We highly recommend it for people. Thoughtful. I really appreciate your calm under pressure. It certainly speaks to all of us, so thank you.
Well, thank you for being patriots. Take care.
All right. There we go. Ben Carson this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB. So these are a little different. They're called some unusual phobias that really exist.
And we will do our best to pronounce them and then tell you what they mean. Maybe some of these you have heard of. Maybe some of them you have not. Let's start off with this one. Anthropophobia. This phobia literally refers to the fear of people, but can also mean the fear of having company.
Yeah. Sociophobia is those who fear being judged by society.
Just going back to the first one, it's like, well, that's a good excuse never to clean your house, I suppose. Or it's just like, I have anthropophobia, so I can't have anybody over.
Right.
Not to make fun. Some odd named phobias. Gamophobia is a fear of getting married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I had a fear of commitment for a while. I was, how about we also have syngenesphobia, which is the fear of all relatives.
ecclesiophobia is the fear of church and going to church.
Mm-hmm. Anchrophobia is the fear of wind. I never heard of that before.
I had never heard of that one. Spectrophobia is not the fear of the internet provider. It's those who are too afraid to look at their own reflection in a mirror.
See, I thought that was the fear of getting cable from Spectrum.
Yeah.
Selenophobia is a fear of the moon.
Oh, wow. Asymmetrophobia. This is very interesting to me. Asymmetrophobia, when you're afraid of asymmetrical objects or mismatched socks. Isn't that the thing, though? I thought that was a thing, especially with the young ladies these days.
Right.
I saw it with my sisters, too. It's like, you don't have to match the socks anymore. Kind of shows your personality. But if you have asymmetrophobia, don't look at people's socks.
My daughter, Grace, particularly had a stage, at least with that, where she was just, the socks did not need to match. So, urethophobia is not the fear of Aretha Franklin music, but the fear of red lights.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
I had a red light the other day when I was trying to turn left off of Birch, and I seriously sat there for, I think, 7+ minutes before realizing this light is not going to change. Like, it was 4 to 5 cycles. I'm not kidding, because I was listening to the number of songs on the station in between, and it cycled, I think, 4 to 5 times with everybody going every other direction, and finally I thought, I'm just going to go in the other lane and get across this intersection. Then a lot of people followed my lead. Allophobia, that is the fear of flutes and flautists.
Tacophobia is not the fear of tacos. It's the fear of riding in cars or trains.
Wow, you can get both. Macrophobia is the fear of long waits.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so if you combine that with the fear of red lights, that's kind of what I was experiencing.
Exactly. Sophophobia, not fear of being a sophomore. It's the fear of learning anything new.
And one more, some oddly named phobias. Choreophobia, it's the fear of dancing.
Huh.
I guess choreography and such.
I think a lot of people maybe suffer from that. So there you go. Some fears maybe you haven't heard of here on WWIB.